welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Lincoln Blue Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Lincoln head coach Moses Harper.
All right, well, bouncing back to last week here, it was a pretty good effort from you guys, but ultimately just fell a little bit short. And from me looking at it, that score right at the end of the first half and right off half made a big difference. Just what did you see from that game?
We saw some positive things up front. When you rush for 200 and some yards and don't win a football game, you have to pinch mentality to wake up. But I thought some things worked out for us well there. And a couple guys from our side made some plays, but still had some opportunities to try to close that one out and get the win on our side. It's just we didn't make plays when we were supposed to in the red zone.
Yeah, and then now it's moving into the final week of the regular season already. Just kind of what's the mentality headed into this one?
Well, you tell these guys here's an opportunity to play one more game. You get one more opportunity to go out and play. This 2024 team gets to play one more together. Obviously, this is the last time this group will be together because kids will graduate. And, you know, kids will make their decision if they're going to stick around or not. So here's the opportunity to play with your brothers one last time. And what a way to have a ranked opponent come in here. Probably feel like they're probably overlooking you because they're waiting to see the regional rankings. But at the same time, they better play because they need the regional rankings. So we'll be excited to get out and compete.
So, yeah, this is obviously a UIndy team that's kind of dominated their way through the schedule. They have one loss and I think just three games decided by one score or less. Just kind of how good is this team you guys are going up against?
It's a really good football team. They got really good star players on defense, and the quarterback's a really good quarterback. You know, they got a solid program. They've been a solid program for 5, 10-plus years in this league. I think this is their 10th title they've already secured. So it'll be a real solid football team coming in here on Saturday.
Yeah, it's an offense that's averaging about 40 points a game. Just kind of what stands out from them on film?
Quarterback play. Quarterback play, knows how to get the ball to his weapons. They do a lot of movement, a lot of shifting on offense. They'll get into some heavy sets and do like some Maryland eye type stuff, kind of throw you off in the box. So you better be prepared to read your keys on this deal because they're very talented.
Yeah, and then kind of same question for their defense. I think they're giving up about 14 points a game.
Yeah, well, if you look at the averages, what we give up on defense, they average offense. What we score on offense, they give up on defense. So we better take it one play at a time and try to see what we can do to try to generate something versus defensive unit. But they're an older group as well, so they've been playing together for a while. So, and it shows on their record and where they are as a program.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Lincoln head coach Moses Harper. And Trevor, most weeks we're kind of talking about lopsided losses and we're kind of looking at, okay, how bad the things look overall in terms of one side having a decidedly bigger advantage than the other. But, I mean, you know, last week was a loss, but a 41-28 loss to Lane, I think there's got to be some positives that we can take from that. And just the fact that, you know, it was close for a longer stretch than we're sometimes used to with the Blue Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, it was a game until 2:24 left in the fourth quarter, and Lane scored that kind of put-away touchdown on 4th and 13.
Okay.
So missed opportunities is kind of the big takeaway from this for Lincoln. They were up in the final 2 minutes of the first half. Lane scored a touchdown with, I think, 32 seconds left in the second quarter. They get the ball off half. It's like a 70-yard touchdown right off the half in the first minute. So it went from being up 6 points to being down. Let me do some math there. Being down 2 scores real quick. So it kind of turned real quick for them there. And then after they gave up that long touchdown and early in the third quarter, they had 3 chances to answer. They had a blocked field goal, a turnover on downs inside the 5, and then another field goal miss. There was plenty of opportunities in this game to kind of move in front or stay right there with them, and it just kind of got away from them in the end.
Just those 3 things right there, I mean, that's, you know, 6 points from the field goal, 13 points total. All of a sudden, we're talking about a whole, you know, whole different scenario at that point, because that's a tie ball game if you get those points.
Yeah, definitely. And like you you mentioned, there were some positives to take away. They rushed for a season high in rushing yards. I think they were in the 220 range.
237.
Yeah. So even a little bit better. They averaged 6.6 per carry. So for a team that's talked all year about how they want to run the football, getting a performance like this is pretty good for them. Obviously, it didn't come against the caliber of opponent that they'll see this week. We'll talk about that. But it's still something to build on a little bit later in the season than I'm sure they wanted to, but still a positive takeaway.
Yeah, I think again, like every game, you can kind of look at and go, okay, there are positives and there are negatives, and then there's always stuff where you go, okay, but this is clearly something that needs to get better. And again, I think, like you say, they finally get the running game going to the point where they want, but this is a game where they also threw the ball, you know, 29 times. And just the completion percentage is not there, and the yardage is just not there. So you look at it and just go, we knew that was going to be a thing this year where it's like, okay, we know they want to run. We know that's their kind of identity, but you're going to have to be able to pass too. And just the fact that they're not doing it at a level that's enabling them to maybe break through when you have to be able to do it.
Yeah, and it's to be expected with a true freshman quarterback and Isaiah Tate. And they knew coming into this that they were going to kind of have to learn and grow with him.
Sure.
There's been bright spots for him. We've talked multiple times in the past month, really, about him having good performances. It's just kind of unfortunate for them when he plays well, the running game doesn't get going.
And then
finally they get the running game going this week to the level that they want to, and the passing attack just doesn't match it. So it's kind of an unfortunate thing where they're not able to get all the wheels turning in the same direction. So
It's almost like, I mean, you know, and I think this is, again, with young teams, and again, we have to stress that this is a whole kind of different dynamic from the team that was in last year. You know, still, it is still a first year for the coaching staff sort of thing. But I do think that sometimes it's just like, the thing that you see, you know, relatively young or inexperienced teams struggle with is being able to do both, or being able to do them kind of, okay, we've gone away from the pass long enough, let's throw one in here just to make sure we're kind of fresh on that. It almost seems like they can run or they can pass, but they can't do both, and it almost like one disrupts the other as opposed to working in harmony with each other.
Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting study. It's hard to kind of pinpoint the reason for that. I know the biggest focal point for them right now is the red zone offense. That's been a constant struggle this entire season, and it really shows up in the worst spots for them. You look back in games like the Southwest Baptist game where they had opportunities to win that game and left points on the board inside the 10. You look at the Lane game last week, and they're doing the same thing. And it's those games, not necessarily the 50-50 games, but the games that Lincoln could steal. They had opportunities to do that, just the red zone offense didn't show up. So obviously they would like the passing game and the running game to work in unison and put up big numbers, but what they're really looking at is finding a way to execute in the red area, because that's been a constant struggle this year.
So again, you kind of mentioned it, but that, you know, we're going to take a step up in level of competition this week. The Blue Tigers are now 1-9 overall. They're 0-7 in the GLVC, which they're returning to this week. And again, we talked about it a little bit last week. It's not the greatest thing to do in the world is to play the best team in the conference, you know, for your regular season finale. So, but I will say the one good thing, I don't know, maybe it's going to be a good thing, is the fact that, you know, University of Indianapolis comes into this game at noon today at Dwight T. Reed Stadium at 9-1, 7-0 in the GLVC. They've already clinched the conference. So in some ways, they're kind of looking to, I mean, obviously they're probably hoping to bolster their postseason resume, but they've already clinched the conference. So there's really kind of not as much on the line as if maybe they came in, you know, in a dead heat with somebody and really needing this victory. They don't really need a win today. They, you know, I'm sure they'll want one, but it's not like there's like conference is riding on this one.
Yeah, I mean, the really big motivating factor for them has to be the regional rankings. They're number 7 in that right now. They're ranked 14th overall in Division 2, but being 7th in that Super Region 3, I don't know how much a commanding win against Lincoln's going to change that.
Right.
But it could definitely hurt.
They obviously
have the automatic bid with winning the conference.
So
they're not going to fall out of the rankings. But you could definitely find yourself in a position where you're facing one of the top teams in the region with a loss. And that would take away a lot of momentum
heading
to the postseason. But I know Lincoln's kind of hoping they get looked past a little bit.
Sure. Well, and I think it's worth noting for people who maybe don't follow Division II football as closely as you and I have over the years. I think it's one of those things where, you know, yeah, I guess it just speaks to the level of kind of not the disrespect, but the lack of acclaim the GLVC gets, because UIndy's done everything that's been asked of them so far this season. I mean, they've got a really nice resume. They've run the table in the conference, but I think it just speaks to that being so low in the regional rankings, just as people looking at the GLVC going, well, it's not a very good football conference, so we're not maybe going to reward you by pumping you up very much. And so that kind of stinks for the league a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of rolling off that point, this is the final week of the regular season. This is the first time Lincoln's seen a ranked opponent. That's right. Something that they saw a lot week in, week out in the MIAA. And yeah, the depth of the GLVC just obviously isn't like the MIAA. And we've talked about that many times this year, but I'm sure UIndy does feel a little bit disrespected because, I mean, you look at the metrics of the team, it's an extremely impressive football team.
Right.
They're first in the conference. I can just kind of roll through this. And scoring defense, and total offense, and total defense, and rushing offense, and rushing defense, passing offense. Let's sacks defensively, third down percentage, red zone offense. Like, do I need to keep going?
Right,
obviously, the level to play in the GLVC is not quite the MIAA, but it's hard to look at what they've done compared to the rest of the league and not be impressed.
Right.
Like, you put UIndy in the MIAA, I don't think they win it, but they're going to be right there competing, especially in this year in the MIAA, where it seems very chaotic, more so than usual. So the rankings kind of show what they think of the GLVC, but they're a very good football team.
And I think if you're a UIndy fan that's looking at this season as a whole and is frustrated with maybe that, and again, we've been in that situation as myself as a Truman State fan the years they've had real good seasons in the GLVC and don't get, ranked very highly in the regional rankings, you understand why. But it still stinks because I think if you're UIndy fans this year, you look at kind of the 2 weeks kind of back-to-back in weeks, I think it was in weeks 4 and 5, where you go, okay, the only kind of blemishes I see on the schedule this year, their one loss, which was to Saginaw Valley State, they lost 28-24, so that's a close loss. And then I think it's the kind of the hangover the next week, I think, that everybody kind of looks at was just only beating William Jewell 23-20
in overtime.
Yeah, so I think that's the one where you look at it and go, maybe those two things are, you look at it and goes, well, if you're looking for reasons not to rank them highly, those are kind of two blips where you go, those two things. Otherwise, if you look at them, I mean, all the other conference wins have been handy. I mean, they've been, they beat the second place team in the conference by 30. They beat everybody else kind of by 30 or 40. So it's just those kind of maybe back-to-back weeks where you, but again, to their credit, they've just kind of run the table otherwise, and you go, what else do we have to do? Well, I guess you just hope you get in, and then you just got to hope you make noise after that.
Yeah, and I guess I can add that McKendree game to kind of a blip there. They did give up 34 right. points to McKendree.
Right.
They've only given up more than 20 points 3 times this season.
Yeah.
It's a very good defense, and it's an offense that averages 40 points a game.
Right.
So, like you mentioned, there's really not much more. We talk about style points
sure.
in the Missouri podcast all the time.
Right.
There's style points-wise, there's really not much they could have done more.
Right.
So it's kind of an unfortunate situation, and really the only fix I could think of is having that automatic bid conference champion automatically get a home playoff game.
Right. Right.
I think that could be a decent fix, and so you're not winning your conference and being punished and having to go on the road.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That's really the only solution I can find, but that's obviously not going to happen this year,
right.
So not really a factor for them.
So as we focus more on this head-to-head matchup, you've got the list of, UIndy is first in this and first in this and first in this and first in this. How's Lincoln doing in those rankings?
So, yeah, I mentioned all the categories that UIndy is first in. Lincoln is last in a majority of the major categories
sure.
for the conference. They're last in scoring defense, last in total offense, last in passing offense. They've given up the most sacks in the league. They're last in third downs.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
There's a few eights and sevens in there.
Sure.
The only thing that they're in the top half of the league for, around the top half of the league, they've recovered 4 fumbles.
Okay.
And sacks by, they're 6. That's not too bad. And
right.
That's something that they might be able to look at, because I mean, UND's ranked third in the conference in giving up sacks. So right. Obviously they're still good at it, but that's something that for their terms, they kind of struggle relative to the rest of the league. So yeah, you look at it and it's basically polar opposites. Like I mentioned, UND is scoring 40.2 points a game. Lincoln's giving up 40.1 points per game.
Yeah.
Lincoln is scoring 16.3 points per game. UND is giving up 17.4.
So you're telling me the final score today is going to be 40-17 or 40-16.
That's what the numbers would say. And so it's not just the records and conference records that are polar opposites of each other. Right. A lot of these stats are. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a very different tale of the tape.
So, obviously, it's going – I mean, the Blue Tigers are going to have their hands full. So let's just dive into it a little bit from the standpoint of what I guess, is going to be the thing that they have to worry about knowing that they have their hands full. I mean, what's it going to be that UND's going to do that Lincoln's going to have to try to stop in order to keep this respectable for as long as they can?
So UND is a kind of run-first offense. They're starting running back John Lewis is over 1,000 yards for the season. Okay. He's third in the conference in rushing. But they're going to try and kind of lull you to sleep with that. They bring in big personnel. They kind of play that heavyweight football. And then once you kind of gear towards that, Gavin Suckup, their quarterback, 19 passing touchdowns, 2,300 yards, 4 rushing touchdowns, 324 rushing yards.
So as you might expect, I guess they do everything pretty well.
Yeah, they're a run-first team, but they still find a way to have some pretty good balance in that. Yeah. So that's really impressive, and it makes it even harder to stop. But really, they're going to try and big boy personnel you and really just kind of try to wear you out throughout a game.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of see how Lincoln can match up against that.
So obviously it hasn't been a wonderful season for the Blue Tigers. I think there's been kind of moments that have been good, and I think there have been flashes here, flashes there, more than some of the past season where you just go, well, there's just not a whole lot to spotlight. I guess my biggest question for you at this point then is just how did it seem like this week when you talked to Coach? Are they still bought in for at least one more game, or have they kind of just resigned themselves to, we just got to get this game done and then go into the offseason?
It's hard to kind of sleepwalk into a senior day game, I would say.
Sure.
A lot of these seniors, I wouldn't say a lot. I would say probably half of these seniors are transfers, so they haven't been through all the rough years of Lincoln.
Right.
But there are those few kids that have stuck through all these dark years for Lincoln, and it's kind of a cool moment for them to be celebrated.
Right.
In a sense that you haven't really had many wins to celebrate, so you kind of get to this day, and it's you survived a Purple Heart almost.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, you've really got to give kids like that credit, because you know every year players wash out of teams at every level for a multitude of reasons, and so, and again, the ones that stick through it when there hasn't been a whole lot of success. I mean, we're talking about what, probably over the last 4 or 5 years, there's what, you know,
I mean, in the last 5 seasons there's been one win.
Yeah. So I mean, you look at it and go, if you stuck it out through all of that, I mean, you deserve a special medal just for sticking with it.
Yeah. And I mean, in the transfer portal era, like you mentioned, like there's thousands of kids that are transferring every year in all levels of football.
Right.
And yes, most of these kids could have found a different home.
Yeah.
So they should be commended on the fact that they're sticking through this and becoming the leaders for these young kids, because this is still an extremely young football team. So props to all those kids. I don't know if I was in the position, if I would have been able to do it. So they deserve all the props in the world.
Yeah. All right. I guess it's prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just ask you, does UND win 40-16 or 40-17 today?
I think 40-17 sounds about right. We'll go with that one. Obviously, they're the heavy favorite in this game.
Right.
This would be the biggest win in God knows how long for Lincoln if they're able to do it.
Right.
So, got to go with the Greyhounds. We'll roll 40-17, say the averages stay the same.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter @TREVHAHN3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.